What does it mean to DJ for a cause? What is happening in the Melbourne electronic music scene right now, and how is it engaging with current activism and expressions of support for Palestine? In this episode of Music and Politics, we are joined by Ms. Rizk, a renowned DJ and radio broadcaster, with her show Boogie Beat Suite on PBS, to which I'm personally a regular listener. Ms. Rizk is a known quantity on the Melbourne electronic music scene, having won the Best DJ category at the Music Victoria Awards in 2022. Using house, jazz, soul, disco, hip-hop, and a good amount of music in the Arabic language, Ms. Rizk sets out to foster community and cultural connection wherever she plays, with a cultural musical fusion that reflects her work from Melbourne to New York to Beirut and beyond. Ms. Rizk has been leading and performing in some Palestine solidarity events along with other DJs, promoters and artists in the Club Night Habibi Hafla, among others. You're listening to The Sound of Solidarity, brought to you by Solidarity. We're a revolutionary socialist group in Australia, and if you'd like to find out more about us, our website is solidarity.net.au. I'm Tommy Gadir and I'm recording this episode on unceded Wurundjeri land in Naam or Melbourne. Welcome, Ms. Rizk.
Thanks for having me, Tammy.
So could you tell us first of all, what is it that you really love about DJing and what kind of music do you absolutely love to play people when you're DJing?
I mean, I've been DJing now for most of my adult life. I mean, half of my life has been spent behind turntables or behind a radio mic. And the genres you mentioned are the sounds that I play most of, but those sounds are always expanding. I love music and I love learning about the cultures of music, the history of music, and I love rhythm. I'm a huge fan of rhythm sections, really good bass lines, really good lyrics. And so it's a really difficult question to answer considering that every day I'm feeling a different vibe and a different energy. One day I'm feeling like house music, the next day I just want to listen to Nina Simone on repeat. It changes by the day. And depending on the venue or the event I'm playing, and whoever's in the room will, of course, change the way I play in real time because I go off the vibes and the energy in the space.
And what are some of the key projects that you're involved with at the moment in the music world?
So I do have my radio show, as you mentioned, Boogie Beat Suite, and that's a weekly show, which I love, and that I play a lot of international sounds, a lot of local sounds, and of course I curate a lot of events and I work and collaborate with other crews and community groups to bring on events. So yes, Habibi Hafla is my brand, and I've been running those events for a number of years now, and they are Arabic music-based events, but we do go a bit more broad, where I book, you know, DJs from the region, so they could be Turkish, we do play Iranian music at times, so it just depends who's on, but it's specifically an event for the Swana community. Everyone's invited, of course, but you have to respect the people in the space because it is made for them. Of course, my regular residencies, I spend a lot of time playing at different venues, bars, events, and festivals. And at the moment, my time has been taken up with a few events and festivals that I'm curating as well.
And can you tell us a little bit about Habibi Hafla as a concept? What does it mean, first of all, for those who don't know? What's the kind of underlying idea of that particular party? And would you invite a broad listenership in Melbourne to go along to it?
Absolutely. So Habibi Hafla was an idea I had. So for a very long time, I've been collecting Arabic records. My background is Lebanese, so I've grown up listening to a lot of Arabic music. And I found in Melbourne at one point, so just looking at the events that happen, a lot of communities have been running their parties. You can find reggae parties, Latin parties, Afro parties. And I felt like what was missing in Melbourne was a party for the Swana region, and I really love playing music you know, from what I consider home. I decided to start running an event that was focused on booking artists from the region, whether they're from there or from here, and of course playing music that they love. But mostly the brief is music from the region, but DJs do have the freedom to play music that they love as well. But people attending should know that the music will not be predominantly English or music that they can hear at other places. This is very specific. And I incorporate live music as well. There's belly dancers, there's live drummers. So it's like, it started off as wanting to create an event for like a Lebanese wedding, basically. And I wanted everyone to come, but without the stress of attending a Lebanese wedding and no wedding actually happening. Because those events, you will never experience them unless you're invited to one. And they're so joyful. And so I wanted to bring that passion and that tradition and that culture into a public sphere for people from the region to come and meet and participate. And it was welcomed, and the event keeps getting bigger and more popular. And then over time, more crews have started. They've started bringing out Arab acts from internationally as well. So at the moment, music from the region is very popular, but I started this a long time ago.
Would you hear the music that you're choosing to play at Habibi Hafla and other musicians as well in parties that would be run in Beirut, for example?
I mean, when I did play in Beirut and ran a few parties in Beirut, I guess the interesting thing is when you go back to Beirut or those particular countries, a lot of the people there are sick of hearing these songs because this is what they've grown up with. You know, not everyone, but generally they really love their techno over there and they love their electronic music over there. And that's what excites them. But then you have groups of people and DJs that really love old school funk and soul, and they're record purists as well. So when we did our gigs, it was a good balance of not playing songs that they would consider cheesy that we would play here that the diaspora absolutely love. Performing here and performing in Beirut, there are some similarities, but you have to take into consideration that everyone's experiences and then play the party that they would appreciate.
Habibi Hafla put on some solidarity events and fundraisers for Palestine at the end of 2023, one of which was called From the River to the Sea. Another was called Nightlife for a Free Palestine. Can you tell us a bit about these events and whether they're going to continue into 2024?
At the moment, no. Not because we don't want to, but because those events initially are collaborations with a very good friend of mine, Nadim, who runs the label Al Gharib. So basically, this wasn't just my event. It was a community event, and there were a lot of discussions taking place to put these events on for the community. Nadim is Palestinian and has done a lot of work in Palestine and continues to do so, and he works with a lot of artists from there as well. And so his label releases a lot of music, and they released a I believe it's a 3-CD compilation of resistance music as well. And so Nadim is very connected with his community. I decided that it would be a good time for Nadim and I to have a discussion and run a solidarity event. So a space where people from our community can just come together and listen to really amazing Palestinian music. So that was the brief. So the event was not a party. It wasn't to celebrate. It was to sit and to listen and for people to be together.
So was there no dancing at those events?
If people wanted to dance, they did dance. Others chose that dancing was not for them. And we have to respect people where they're at and how they experience music. These events were not for dancing. These events were not a celebratory event. There's nothing to celebrate at the moment. But what we can do is come together as a community and appreciate the absolute brilliance and creativity from Palestine and recognize and acknowledge what is happening there. We all kind of need to be together and support one another. And this is what that was for. It was for people to come together, feel supported and have a safe space to listen to music and to be together and to offer some respite from what is happening.
And on that note, did you feel or do you feel that you sort of said the word we need to come together? And so I'm wondering about, do you have a concept of, and do you think others also have a notion of pan-Arab solidarity in this particular situation that's happening in Palestine, considering how many refugees from Palestine end up in other places?
What's happening in Palestine is absolutely devastating, but also what's happening around Palestine is devastating. So people are being affected in different countries around the region. And at the moment, it's very relentless and it doesn't seem like it's slowing down, unfortunately. Everyone from that region that I know in our community and who comes to these events, we all feel distraught. And so we're all creative. People are spending so much time and so much of their day watching horrific videos, listening to the news. And so how do we come together to offer respite and to kind of show solidarity in a creative way? The only way we know how is to find a safe venue, share amazing music, give Palestinians the platform to do what feels good for them, and we support that.
You host a PBS music show called Boogie Beat Suite, as we talked about. I was wondering about a recent time that you brought on a musician.
Nadim came on to speak about Al Ghareeb's compilation, yes.
That's right. So he also expressed views on the show, and you yourself were quite neutral and gentle, but you nevertheless got some pushback from listeners to that particular episode. Do you feel fully free in our current environment to express yourself politically without fear of censorship at the moment?
Absolutely not. We are censored. We're very much censored. Sadly, I'm quite bewildered about the censoring and the gaslighting and the take that the media has at the moment. It's not the 80s. Everyone has phones. Things are being filmed in real time. And I find it quite shocking that people are happily trying to debate with others about what's going on. Politics aside, just look at what's happening. Like, I'm not an academic, but in academia, we look at facts. And that's kind of how I like to view things, just facts. Okay, you're saying this and this. Where's the evidence? Oh, we don't have that. Okay, but you're saying that this thing is the reason this is happening, but you can't prove that and there's no evidence of that. But we can clearly see evidence that this other thing is happening because it's happening in real time. It feels like I'm living in a different planet. And it's really difficult to express that out loud without finding pushback or without someone being offended. And so there was nothing to be offended by. We played amazing music from an amazing compilation. Nadim was discussing BDS and discussing very important things. But even before that was discussed, there was pushback. And so I feel as though, and I can't speak about a whole community's point of views, but I feel as though even if you try to be honest and try to show things that are factual, there will be pushback because it doesn't suit particular people's narrative. It's very difficult, especially where we are here. And I don't want to upset people, you know, but I shouldn't have to be. You should already be upset about what you're seeing. And if you're not upset about what you're seeing, or if you're arguing with people about what you're seeing, I think people need to have a really good, long, hard look at themselves and to work out where their humanity has kind of disappeared.
To what extent do you think that music or arts or culture play an important role in political communication? So for people that might argue that maybe music should be over there or up there or down here for entertainment or for aesthetic enrichment and not about politics, what would you tell people who think that? So I'm thinking, for example, of the ways that there's been objections on those grounds, allegedly, to artists expressing solidarity for Palestine, right? So, and then people have been like, well, that's not their place to express solidarity. So what's your position on that?
Music is political. It always has been political. Pick a genre. We can talk about the politics, if you like, and the history of how that music came to be. Music has forever been political, and I think people that like to argue against that have their own agenda. I'm sure that they won't argue about other songs being political. People like to make a lot of noise about things that don't suit their point of view. And they need to understand that everyone in this world that is a creative has license to discuss the matters at hand and what is happening in the way they wish to. If we think about music historically and pop music, Imagine was one of the biggest songs in the world written by John Lennon. Obviously didn't suit someone's narrative. He was murdered years later. If we think about interviews with Nina Simone, she was very close to Martin Luther King, and I bring that up because, again, her music was political. Music is the easiest way to express feelings, opinions, thoughts, ideas, and it's the easiest way for the listeners to understand that. People don't want to listen to a lecture, but they will listen to a good song about the subject and learn things. I often call music and what I do edutainment, which is a mix of education and entertainment, depending on where I am and what set I am doing. For anyone to argue about music being political, it's like, okay, you're just saying that because you don't really understand music or it doesn't suit your... Like, there are many reasons why people would argue about music not being political. Those people I tend not to give much time to because it means they're very close-minded, don't have critical thinking skills, and they're totally ignoring the history of music. And fair enough, you want to just go out and party, have a nice time. I understand that. And music has a place for everything. What I'm trying to say is that music is so versatile. It's full of storytelling, and music is made for every single mood. There are love songs. There are party songs. There are very sad, depressive songs, songs that are written for the times at hand. You can't pick and choose what music topics should exist or should not exist. If you don't like it, you don't have to listen to it. Continue listening to the pop music that is apparently all joyous, if you like. I think that it's really important that people understand music historically and how it lands. And you will soon realize, everyone, that most genres you love did not stem from happy, joyous people. It came from people that have experienced the most horrible circumstances, and they have created this as it's moved on and evolved to become joyous, right? I guess that suits people, but you have to understand where it came from.
Do you think that Taylor Swift could use her platform to do Palestine
solidarity stuff? I can't believe you've brought this up. Why are you doing this to me? I think it's a real disservice when I see artists as big as Taylor Swift, as Beyonce, as whoever. It's easy to target women, firstly, but also these people have the power to change the world. But I've really noticed that when artists are that big, when they have such a huge, huge fan base, like in the Taylor Swift, Beyonce type of fan bases, I definitely know that if Taylor Swift was to come out and talk about the things happening today, she wouldn't have a career for much longer, you know? I think Beyonce, when she came out with Formation, I was just like, she must feel safe enough to do that. And I'm very surprised. But it's funny because she's done that and hasn't really done something like that again, you know? So maybe she's been told. Who knows how things work in the back end? What I've learned since October 7 very clearly is, who knows the conversations that are happening in the back? It's very unnerving.
What's it like DJing in Beirut?
There's nothing quite like going back and playing music to a really amazing audience that really love music. Like, I think playing in Beirut, for me, because that's home, was very special, unlike other places I've played. But I can tell you that the best gigs I've ever done have always been in countries that value music more than drugs and alcohol. DJing in non-Western countries have always had a different energy, or playing in countries where the majority of the crowds are very much involved in music as a culture is very, very different to just playing to people that just want to come out and have a drink. I often play gigs and think, oh, if I did this set in New York, if I was doing this set in Beirut or wherever, the reaction would be really, really different. I've managed to create a really amazing event here where it kind of feels like you're partly somewhere close to, you know, Beirut or Cairo with my Habibi Hafla events, which is really, really great.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Ms. Rizk, for joining us on The Sound of Solidarity. Really appreciate you speaking about your experiences DJing and being part of the music scene here in Melbourne, and hopefully people will be able to get down to a gig of yours very soon.
I hope so. Thanks a lot for having me.